You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is returning from a previous show, and his name is Michael F. Bell. Michael is a writer who has written articles for Palm Springs Life magazine and won several writing contests while at prep school and college. His book, The Invisible Crime, was written after 7 years of exhausting research. Michael is considered a targeted individual, or TI. His first book was written for two reasons: to make the American public aware of this technology and the unconscionable crimes for which it is used, and to help other targeted individuals gain control of their lives and cope with this nightmare from which they never seem to wake. You can find Michael on his websites, www.michaelfbell.com, or on www.invisiblecrime.com. So let's welcome him back to the show now. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Lance, it's great to be here.
Yes, it's nice to talk to you again. We had such a good time the first time that I thought, I wonder what will happen the next time. What will Michael be talking about tonight?
Yes, it's literally a bottomless subject matter. Mm. We're in no danger of running out of material here.
Oh, good. Good. That'd be terrible if the show just went silent the last 15 minutes.
No. We're in no danger there.
Oh, good. Good. Well, where should we start? I mean, in your first show, you covered quite a bit of ground about what had happened to you, and I guess maybe a brief recap is in order to get everybody up to speed.
Sure. My story is I was a screenwriter, an aspiring screenwriter in Hollywood, California, and one night in an apartment, I was drugged and abducted from my apartment. I remember the perpetrators wearing frightening masks and at one point lying on stainless steel table with a bright light shining on me and surgeons wearing surgical masks standing over me. And I woke up thinking that it was the next morning, but to my horror, I discovered that it was actually 8 days later, and my body was riddled with dozens of tiny corresponding and symmetrical covert cosmetic surgical incision scars, and I couldn't figure out what had happened to me, but I knew something terrible had happened. So I consulted with several private investigators and a former CIA agent that informed me that it sounded like I had become what is known as a targeted individual and that had possibly been implanted with advanced nanotechnology biomedical devices. And so I traveled around the world collecting medical evidence in the form of MRI, ultrasound, x-rays, all with verified, validated, real doctor's reports clearly showing foreign objects directly beneath the surgical incision scars that I had on my body. And the private investigators and the former CIA agent all told me that I was likely a part of what's believed to be a massive field test and illegal clinical trial of human experimentation using classified technologies. This crime that I've written about, it's really, people say, well, what is it? It's what's believed. What I believe in my research certainly shows is that I am a human experimentation test subject. And people will say, well, what's it for? I'm being tested on, in the best of my knowledge, for what is believed to be the most advanced weapon system ever created by mankind. And it involves every aspect of science, neuroscience, medicine, psychology, physics, mathematics, and all war techniques, tactics, and methods. And it's really the sum of all human knowledge. That's what I'm being tested on. And this human experimentation program that I'm a part of, unwittingly part of, because this is all being done to me without my knowledge, permission, or consent. Mm. And it's for me, it's illegal human experimentation, and it's considered a war crime, and it's the highest ranking type of capital crime, punishable by the death penalty. There is no crime that is greater than the one that is happening to me and other targeted individuals around the world.
Mm-hmm. Michael, have you met any, I know that there are quite a few that have come out as whistleblowers. Have you been to any of the conferences where they show up and talk about it, or have you met some of the other people who are also targeted?
Well, I haven't gone to any of the conferences, but I am familiar with them, and I have called in to some conferences in the past, but I haven't actually gone to one. But I have met many targeted individuals in person and through corresponding on the internet and through my research. I've met quite a few.
How long did it take you to come out about this topic publicly, and did anything happen as a result of you writing your book and sharing about this information openly?
Well, when this first happened to me, or I should say any targeted individual, usually by the time that the person realizes what's happened to them, it's already been going on for quite some time, because
right.
you would never expect something like that to happen. You know, no one's ever heard of anything like that ever happening to anyone ever, certainly on record. So, you would never expect it. It comes completely out of the blue, and completely blindsides anyone who's affected by it.
Right, right. I mean, it's very similar with the super soldier phenomenon, and there are other things that I have come up with, shifting the whole body, essence, spirit into another vehicle, and cloning. So these things are all going on, whether we're aware of it or not, and I'd say in 99% of the cases, we're kept unaware.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I should add that targeted individuals are the direct result of a corrupt government. And this crime, which I've written about, which is based in secrecy and deception, could not exist without the complicity and acquiescence of the United States government, the medical community, and law enforcement. It has been suggested, and it's not difficult to perceive and understand, that corrupt judges and prosecutors can be bought and paid for to further the agenda of the criminal cabal. It's widely recognized that one of the ways that people can become targeted individuals is that they have been wrongfully, illegally placed onto the terror watch list. A FISA warrant can be issued against a person that allows for surveillance against foreign spies or persons of interest. So, and that's exactly the same type of warrant that was issued against the Trump administration, the same surveillance, that same way. But imagine it being done to people that are nobodies. So regular people, someone like Donald Trump can afford to have people, completely verify that this is being done to him illegally. But people like myself that are just regular citizens are put in a terrible position with being placed. And it certainly makes sense that if someone, and also I must add that there's to be placed onto the terror watch list, it's not difficult to get there. You could raise reasonable suspicion that you're involved with terrorism and irrefutable evidence and concrete facts are not required.
Right.
You could post something on Twitter or Facebook that raises reasonable suspicion. It's very easy. Or someone could just think that you're a potential terror threat. And nominators are encouraged not to dismiss such tips. And after evaluating the credibility of the source, could opt to nominate you to the list. And also, even without any suspicion that they themselves are engaged in any terrorist activity, someone could just say that they think that you might be. So it's not hard for people to get on there. And once you're on the list, then all of the funding is there to back up the surveillance, you see?
Right, yeah.
So that's where military spending can come in and pay for that, which is actually coming out of taxpayer money.
Right, that's and good. Then on 9/11, I think so many trillions of dollars just vanished. But they vanished anyway because the banks were swept
billion.
Every night.
That's right. Yeah, they estimated somewhere between $8 and $12 trillion disappeared.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Now, these devices can also read your thoughts, as I understand it. And that's really scary because that would mean that you're living in a nightmare world of knowing that if you have any thoughts, you know, especially sexual thoughts or whatever that is not condoned and frowned upon by the church, they're monitoring your every mood change and thought that comes into your mind.
That's right. And through a process believed to be, which if you look at the actual process where the mind reading comes in, that's referred to as, we recognize that as something called synthetic telepathy. And that is that's a bidirectional human mind, human brain to supercomputer bidirectional technology where thoughts, a human being's thoughts can be translated and deciphered into words in real time. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, influence can be put back into the human brain without them even being aware.
Well, you know, the scary thing is that we've kind of been prepped for this because for a long time, corporations have wanted to microchip the population, and that whole movement kind of got derailed when it came to people's attention and there was a lot of press about it, so they kind of backed off, but I see that there's a corporation in Europe that where the president had taken in a microchip, saying that he wanted to be the first because it gives special privileges, and without one you can't go into this room and that room, and but with one you can have various benefits and goodies that aren't available to those who don't. So that's one way that they're softening us up, and the other is through our pets. People love their pets and they want to know where they are, and so it's become kind of okay to have your pet microchipped, which I find horrific. I wouldn't do it to myself, so why would I do it to a pet that I loved? So we're being prepared for this on many levels.
Right. I also wanted to add something else that I didn't add last time that I thought listeners may be interested in, just to understand when you Certainly. And also, I wanted to, I don't think I went into the actual perpetrator group and categories last time. I don't know if I did that. But I also wanted to mention that these classified technologies that are being used on targeted individuals like myself are technologies that are based in frequencies and signals. So that's one of the reasons why I called the book The Invisible Crime, because you can't see a frequency or a signal. But over time, I've noticed that my body, because of my constant and continuous exposure to the frequencies and signals that are generated through these classified technologies that I'm saturated in 24/7, my natural metabolism has been artificially sped up to the point where I have to have an enormous daily calorie intake just to maintain a normal, healthy weight. See, I'm 56 years old right now, and the average normal calorie intake for a regular person my age would be somewhere roughly between 2,500 and 3,000 calories per day. Now, I'm burning between 6,000 and 10,000 calories every single day, even at rest. That's the same amount of calories that a mountaineer climbing Mount Everest require summit day. And if I don't consume enough calories, my weight drops off very quickly.
Wow.
So I mean, it's just to, I have to eat somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 calories of food every day just to wake up tomorrow morning with the same weight. If
wow.
I don't. It's pretty scary. And people are, people don't understand that if you're, I'll put it simply the way I look at it. If you're overweight, it's free to lose weight. It's free.
Right.
You just have to have some discipline and not eat. It can be free.
Yeah.
If you do it, it's free. It's not, it shouldn't cost you anything to lose any weight.
Right.
But on the other hand, to try to put weight on is very difficult and can be expensive. So not only is it expensive, but it's also a huge chore to eat that much food every day. It's, people don't understand. And then when you look at it, when you lay all your food out to have the right amount of calories every day, you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to eat all that? And then you do. And then tomorrow you're just, you wake up, you have to start all over again. It's
wow.
Like, yeah, you get all the way up to the top of the mountain, and then in the morning you wake up at base camp again, and you have to start again and start climbing again. It's pretty tough.
Wow. Are there other side effects that you've noticed that that cause you any kind of pain or anxiety, other than just knowing that's there?
That's the other thing too. I have to say that for sure that the sleep deprivation.
Oh yeah.
My gosh, that has to, people don't understand. People that before this happened to me, I used to have a regular pattern of sleep, but now what happens to me is just when I'm drifting off to sleep. You see, I have to understand that the technologies, the perpetrator group that's monitoring me knows exactly what my heart rate is. They can adjust my body temperature remotely.
Wow.
From great distances, depending on, and the limitation degree which the perpetrators can work their classified technologies is really, you're limited to the range of the equipment. So and if it's satellite based, it could be anywhere in the world. You're the people that are targeting you could be in another country.
Right.
You know, they could be somewhere else, but imagine this: when you're going to sleep, obviously your heart rate is dropping, and it's getting as low as it will get. as you relax and you, and just, and because you're being monitored so closely, when you get down to a certain point where you're at the point on the threshold of falling asleep, just when you're hitting that line, that threshold there, you will receive a very strong jolt, an electric jolt. So it's either a jolt or a vibration or even a whisper for some people.
Wow.
I don't have the voice to skull technology. That's not one of the things that I have. I have something called silent subliminal sound presentation, but many of the targets that I know of, most of them, I'd say about 95% of the targets that I've been communicating with, all receive the voice to skull technology. And that's a real and proven to exist technology, the V2K, voice to skull technology. That's a real and proven technology. So that's nothing that and that's already been declassified. So,
right. But does that require an implant in the brain or a neural net or anything?
I believe certainly. I mean, when you look at the scar pattern, I believe certainly, yes, to answer your question, if you're receiving something like V2K, voice to skull technology, where a voice is being beamed through technology, through some signal is being beamed right into your brain as it's latched on to your brain waves, at that point, you really have to, for the people that are hearing, they will actually hear a voice. No one else can hear the voice but the person. It can't even be taped on. Some people have been able to do recordings with digital voice recorders, but it's very difficult and very difficult to prove. But yet the technology exists, though. It's so we know it's real.
Well, you know, this kind of ties into the whole topic of 5G networks and the Internet of Things, which every guest that's been on the show has been adamant about it being a major game changer as far as human freedom goes. And it could be that ties into all of this mind control development, because the towers that are needed have to be placed every 100 feet or so. So they would be literally all over the world, you know, in people's backyards and in front yards, and in who knows where they're going to conceal it.
Right.
And you can also microwave a person and kill them, and it would seem like a heart attack.
That's right, and it would be difficult to prove otherwise.
Right.
You know, it's in that respect, there's so many parts of this crime which make it the perfect crime, in many,
yeah.
because it's so difficult to prove, and you're talking about classified technologies that theoretically, technically, don't exist. People, you know, at least on paper, nobody's willing to admit that they exist, but we know that they do. We know that there's classified technologies that we're not allowed to the general public. When I say we, the general public are not allowed to know about. Certainly, there are many things that are kept from the population, and that's definitely one of them.
Right. After you started coming out about this subject, did you find that anything changed, or did you notice anything that would alert you to the idea that there were those who were observing and keeping an eye on you?
Well, I have to say that the people. Maybe it's easier if I just describe the perpetrators. See, and also explain to the listeners that my information is based on information that I've gathered from private investigators, a former CIA agent, and also corresponding with and interviewing thousands of targeted individuals from around the world and my own personal research and experience. When you were talking about the perpetrators that are focused on me, the ones that are monitoring me, those are primary perpetrators. That's in the book. In the second book, I describe those as handler teams, which are composed of operatives believed to be using classified technologies, which enable the perpetrator to remotely monitor, track, view, torture, mining, dream inserting, electronic sleep depriving. 24 hours a day this goes on, and then the handler teams themselves are believed to be composed of a minimum of 4 people working in 12-hour shifts with 2 people posted at each shift. Some handler teams will have as many as is believed to have as many as 6 to 8 team members working in 6 to 8 hour shifts with 2 people posted at each shift, operating 24/7, 365 days a year. And each team will most likely have a computer specialist, as the manipulation of the targeted individual's computer and email are a crucial part of the mind control process. Each team will also likely have a psychologist as well as an electronics specialist for phone tapping and manipulation of the electrical grid of the targeted individual's residence. The handler teams are reportedly deluded into thinking that the ongoing human experimentation tests that they are conducting are for reasons other than that of military research. Mm-hmm. It's unlikely that perpetrators will ever come forward to reveal their operations, as it is highly legal and breaks dozens of laws. But perhaps the conscience of at least one of these basically good people will drive them to expose this cruel and inhumane crime against humanity. We certainly hope so.
Mm. Well, of course, if enough people are mind controlled, then it's likely that that's a global phenomenon. We would probably not think twice about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like it would just go whoosh, and then it would be in our head and then out of our head like a cloud. And it also seems that the money that would be required to do this would be astronomical.
Well, just for yourself alone. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to share a little bit from a chapter in the new book, the second book, The Invisible Crime Part 2, Our Targeted Individual, Synthetic Telepathy, and Global Criminal Biomedical Human Experimentation. In that book, the second book, my statistics, which I gathered from private investigators and also from a former CIA agent and my own personal research and experience, that the statistics show that this program that I'm in, which is also known as an unacknowledged special access program, is a program that is estimated for every 1,000 targeted individuals at my level of targeting. I'm at a higher level than the average in my research, certainly higher than most, that for every 1,000 people, targeted individuals like myself, that's $4 billion every year for every 1,000. For every 250 people like me, it's $1 billion a year.
Wow.
For every single individual targeted individual at my level of targeting, it's $4 million per year.
Wow.
Every year. Just to monitor and track and collect the data and whatever's required, wherever I travel, I mean, you have no idea the amount of money for this criminal cabal that's embedded into the United States government and in dozens of governments around the world, certainly in my research, that it's not hard for money to be diverted from military spending and put into special black ops projects like the one that I'm part of. And it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that. And if you look at the numbers, the estimates are that there are approximately 170,000 targeted individuals in the United States alone. Mm. So if we were going to do that math with 170,000 at $4 million per person, that is $680 billion every single year. $680. Wow. That's a lot. That's for all the targeted individuals in the United States, $680 billion every single year is being spent on the research and the testing that's being done. Completely illegal. People have no. This is exactly the same type of human experimentation that the Nazis, World War II, were put to death for. So.
Well, then we brought them over in Project Paperclip and installed them in positions of power. You know,
that's the
head of NASA was Wernher von Braun. And one of my guests knew him personally. She said he was absolutely an incredibly good-looking man, for one thing. But he was a neighbor of hers. So they were installed in high places, and I suspect that a lot of the corporations that we don't like because of their policies, like Monsanto and Bayer and a couple of other ones, are run by these people who are at the top, and they're bringing in all their people who are sympathetic to them at levels that most people who work for the corporation probably aren't aware of.
Right. Yeah, it's. I mean, not only that, there's so many different. I mean, we know that the expenses, obviously, and also to have everything to be completely secret and. The crime, as I said before, the crime is based in secrecy and deception, and the deception especially factors into the targeting of the targeted individual, so that they're not able to completely figure out how they are being targeted or where the perpetrators may be located. Mm. You see that. So the deception factors into that to keep the person constantly guessing and perhaps even deceiving them to the point where they maybe think that somebody else is a neighbor or something is part of it. And then, of course, if the neighbor is not involved, it destroys the credibility of the targeted individual.
So, I mean,
you're talking about a terribly impossible situation. Also, the other thing I wanted to bring up, too, was that some of the other components that are so important to, for instance, when I was abducted, I was drugged. But my research shows that what I was drugged with was something called scopolamine. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
It's
a very little known. It's known as the most dangerous drug in the world, and it's a drug that comes from the seed of a tree down in Colombia and in Ecuador. Is really where these trees grow wild. It's called a burundanga tree, or a borrachero tree, which means literally in Spanish drunken tree, and that is part of the deadly nightshade family. And so what they do is they take these seeds from the burned dung tree and they put it through a chemical treatment process that is nearly identical to the processing of cocaine from raw coca paste into the refined cocaine end up the final product. Nearly the same process is done with the seeds from the burned dunga tree, and then the process to refine the scopolamine down, which is extremely, extremely potent. This is the most, there's, and this is a drug that is so powerful, people have no idea. It's so fast acting that it's instantaneous, and only a match head, if you took the equivalent of a match head's worth of this powder, scopolamine powder, and blew that into someone's face off a piece of paper, they would instantly be under the influence of this drug. And the thing is that people, unlike regular things like alcohol or other drugs where you can see that the person is under the influence of something, unlike that, this drug, people can't tell that you're on anything at all. You're perfectly articulate. You're sharp. You're not slurring your words. You're not drooping. You can drive. You can do everything. The only thing is that when you're under the influence of this scopolamine, you have no free will. So people can literally direct you to whatever. Someone can say to you, "Hey, let's go to the ATM machine," and you'll say, "Sure, let's go." And they'll say, "Take out all your money." "Sure, let's take out all my money." Or go to your bank. You can go into your bank and say, this is what happens a lot of times. People down in Colombia, where this drug is manufactured, it's mostly used for robbery and rape, but it can also be used for killing people too. 1 gram. 1 gram of this scopolamine is enough to kill 20 people. And here's the thing about the scopolamine. 50% of the victims, these are people that are being drugged. Obviously, this is not like a regular thing where you recreational drug where people would be taking this by choice. This is something that's completely non-recreational. And it's something that hits the person so quickly, and not only that, creates nearly complete amnesia, not only during the time of the drugging, but hours before the drugging will also be lost too. So if you keep, see, that's why usually what happens down in Colombia, where they use this stuff on people all the time, and it's hard to get a hold of, that is used on the people, and without any warning, they're hit with this, and then they're usually, people are robbed, and then they wake up later, they wake up on a park bench, they don't know what's happened to them. All their money's gone. They don't remember anything. What happens is that the drug itself is incredibly fast acting, but to keep someone like myself on this stuff, as I said in the beginning, the first time I was abducted, I was gone for 8 days. So to keep somebody on that, the body, the human body, builds up a resistance to this drug very quickly. So the dose has to constantly be increased, but it's a very fine line between what is enough to keep the person under the influence of this drug so that they don't remember anything, and going too much and pushing them too far and ended up killing them. 50% of all scopolamine druggings end up they're lethal. People will die. 51 out of every two druggings, someone dies. That's how high the mortality rate is with this. So so the people that are doing it, certainly at a military level, these people have to be sharpshooters with the amount of product that you're being given to do that for, you know, for me, for 8 days. And then it's also not an easy drug to test for, and it leaves the body very quickly. Within 24 hours, it's completely gone, can't even be detected. So you have to get it within 24 hours, and it requires a special test at the hospital that most hospitals aren't even equipped to complete a test like this. Mm-hmm. So, and you have to see, that's another thing where the military comes in. You know, all these little components, the scopolamine, you know, where would you get a hold of something like that? You know, another aspect that many targeted individuals have complained about or noticed and commented on was the advanced camouflage that I talk about in the second book, which is also known as invisibility cloaking. And that's also a real and proven technology that's been declassified. It's called hyper stealth technology. Huh. It's an advanced camouflage fabric created and used by the U.S. military. It's a fabric that bends the light to trick the human eye. So somebody could be standing right in front of you with this fabric on, and you couldn't see them because the light is tricking your eye. You could feel them. They're right there. They're not actually, they're just not visible to you.
Right.
So you're talking about here, you know, we're already talking about classified technologies, perpetrators that are working around the clock on you, the scopolamine, the invisibility cloaking that is usually used. And also, the other thing I wanted to say in my research, the invisibility cloaking is almost always used in conjunction with drugging. So someone will be drugged by someone wearing this fabric so that they can't see what I'm saying? So in conjunction, so that even if the person knew that someone was in their house, that I wrote in the first book, at one point, I knew when I was in one of my apartments in Hollywood, at one point, I knew I could feel that there was someone in my apartment, mm-hmm. but I was also still on the drug that they'd given me was still active in my system. So it was, and for me, even though I was still coherent, it did affect my vision a little bit. So my vision was a little bit blurry, a little blurrier than it would have normally been with nothing. So imagine this. I can feel that I'm on whatever they've given me, most likely the scopolamine or something similar, but most likely the scopolamine. And then I knew somebody was in my apartment. I could hear them. I could. At one point, I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I ran, and I could feel someone moving in the hall in front of me, but I couldn't see them. And then, you know, I looked around, and you know, at that point, I didn't know about, you know, hyper stealth technology or invisibility cloaking. Otherwise, all I would have had to do is feel my way around the apartment.
Right.
You know, put something in front of the door and feel my way around. Eventually, I'm going to find the person that's in my apartment.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I'm still wearing. But back then, if that happened again to me, that's what I would do. But then I didn't have any experience to build on. So I didn't know what. I knew somebody was in my apartment, but I couldn't see them. But I could feel them. I knew they were in there. it was a terrible sensation. And then if that happens to a target individual, imagine trying to convey that to someone at a hospital or a police station. Imagine trying to convey that type of information. You know, that's exactly what happened to me. I when this first happened to me, the first time, I was deciding, what should I do? Oh my gosh, I lived in Beverly Hills at the time, Beverly Hills, California, and a couple of blocks over was the police station. So I felt, when I first woke up the first time, I was still under the influence slightly of whatever they'd given me. And I lived close enough to the police station where I could just walk to them. So I started walking to the police station. Then I said, oh no. They're going to ask for proof. So then I turned around and I walked, and I was also just about two blocks away from Cedar Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. So I immediately turned and went to the emergency room and I told them the truth. I said, listen, you know, I was in my apartment and somebody gave me something. They drugged me. We need to take some tests. I've talked to private investigators. They've told me that I probably have stuff in my system called scopolamine. We need to test for that right now. And so, you know, so I went into the emergency room telling them that, and they refused to give me that test. And then what they did was they put me in the psychiatric evaluation after
Right. Probably gave you more drugs.
I was just going to say, and while I was there, further, more advanced surgeries were performed on me.
Really?
In a hospital.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that's spooky.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I read about the stealth technology being used on the sides of mountains, for instance, and planes or craft that look like UFO, which are designed by the breakaway civilization. People have actually seen them fly into the side of a mountain and disappear, and so they can make anything look invisible. And of course, in the James Bond movie, they show us, which is how they get our approval. They put it in a movie, and oh, that's really cool. But not knowing that this is happening all over the world and that people are doing this to individuals. And your mention of scopolamine, which is called devil's breath.
That's right.
There are stories of it being used in Nazi Germany as an interrogation tool and in the Middle Ages by witches.
And also, another thing, yeah, I'm glad you've done your homework. I'm so, you know, I have to say the other thing is that thousands of years ago, it's also believed that the Egyptians, when the Egyptian king died, you know, the rest of the family and friends and everyone connected to him was also, or the important people were also buried with him to accompany him to the afterlife.
Oh.
But those people were alive. So the only way that what they would do is this is what I've read, is that the people that were to be entombed were dosed with this scopolamine, and then they had no problem. Sure, let's go into the pyramid, no problem. You know, while they're on this stuff, and then when they seal them in and it wears off, it's, you know, you're stuck in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so that's because no one's going to knowingly, willfully just volunteer to be put in, you know, so they would give them this scopolamine even back then, and people had no problem because it takes away your free will. Someone would say, hey, why don't you walk off that cliff over there? Sure. You know, you normally, because you have no reaction, you have no protection, you have no wall up. You're open to suggestion.
And if it was put in the water, for instance, like fluoride is, which they used in Hitler's Germany to dumb down the people, And we're doing the same thing here in the United States, and it still hasn't become a major concern. Then anything could happen. They could put LSD in it or anything. And scopolamine, if it's in Colombia, that would implicate the cartels being involved with the military on a friendly basis and probably working together on some level.
I would imagine either that, or now they're just producing their own somewhere in this country.
Well, yeah, because now you can get patches and prescription scopolamine. So the pharmaceutical industry has to be implicated as well. I mean, they all work together, hand in hand. And until you see the bigger picture, that the banks and the governments and politics and churches and religions and all of those things. And corporations all work hand in hand, but it appears that they're all separate and have nothing to do with each other.
Right. Well, that's again the deception and the secrecy it's being done to not just the targets but to anyone everywhere.
Well, yeah, the chemtrails in the air. Everybody gets those. They're around the world.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that they've. I mean, you know, in movies and things, you see that, and I don't know if this exists, but you'd think that it probably might. That if there are things that are being introduced into our everyday breathing air, that perhaps that obviously that, as you said, that affects everyone. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, there's a vaccination.
Oh, right. We didn't include the vaccinations that could have all kinds of self-replicating nanobots in it.
Right.
When they're already putting it in medications for older people so that they can monitor if they've taken their pills or not. Well, on the surface of things, it all looks very, very beneficial and designed to help the person and safety oriented, but the sinister side of it is that it's an infiltration into the human free will. And at some point, the line gets crossed and everybody is susceptible to mind control and being taken out.
Right. Well, and also, too, that remotely induced mind control, most people are unaware that anything like that even exists. They wouldn't even realize that anything's, I mean, unless you're a targeted individual like myself, who knows that they're being manipulated? Who knows that their system, that their thoughts are being corrupted remotely, using classified technologies? You see, other than that, most people would be unaware. They don't even, they wouldn't. Most people
would be living in a dream world that was created around them.
That's right. They're living in a fog.
Yes, exactly. And there have been a lot of zombie movies out lately, and even the government has a cartoon about zombies designed to educate children. And the digital smart meters, when they came out, I had people sending me links on that, saying that, you know, you can't be exposed to that radiation because it's got mind control technology and it degrades the biology of the human. And then I read that in San Francisco they were installing those smart meters at head level for ease of reading or for ease of access. And can you imagine the hundreds of thousands of people that go to work every day walking by buildings getting blasted with radiation wherever they go, and that certainly could be an easy mind control device. And then, of course, the airports are all covered because you have to go through those scanners and so on and so forth. So we're screwed at some level.
And also, too, you would also have to imagine, you know, people obviously the biomedical implants, any implant device that anyone would have in them would be manufactured and created knowing that it has to go through security. This thing,
yes.
Yes. By using conductive polymers and resins instead of a metal. So you use conductive polymers and resins instead of metal. You achieve the same thing without setting off an alarm or
right.
being able to or not showing up invisible on an MRI instead of saying, look, there it is. You know, now with devices that are designed to beat any kind of medical imaging, you see, they are. So it's very, I mean, that's why I was so lucky with my first book to get all of the proof that I have. I certainly proved that I've been implanted without a doubt in my first book. No other targeted individual that I know of has accumulated as much evidence from their personal medical history as I have in terms of MRIs, ultrasounds, x-rays, all showing these tiny devices directly beneath the scars that I have. Very few people. And as a result of me publishing, having my first book out and announcing to the world on a show like this, it's made it more difficult for people to get imaging now. I mean, if I went back to any, I was one of the first. So I was lucky that I found that certainly through my research and even when I go to an imaging center now for if I need an MRI or something like that, from what I understand, the perpetrators will have people working at all imaging centers everywhere.
Right. Well, it certainly is an insidious aspect of living on Earth today. And
yes.
if you really want to have your mind blown, then you could just Google, there it is, Google, smart dust, black goo, and programmable matter, because those are all realities as well. So,
right.
I mean, there's just a... I don't think we've even begun to tap into the extent to which these kinds of things are going on globally.
No, as I said in the beginning, it seems like we'll never run out of. There's always something new that we're learning.
Well, Michael, speaking of running out, I just realized that we've only got about 20 seconds left of the show. It went so damn fast.
Wow.
And I really thank you for coming out and talking about this. And before we go, would you just mention your books and where the people can get them?
Sure. My first book is The Invisible Crime, Illegal Microchip Implants and Microwave Technology and Their Use Against Humanity. That's the first book. The second book is The Invisible Crime Part 2, A Targeted Individual, Synthetic Telepathy, and Global Criminal Biomedical Human Experimentation. And my books are available through my websites, www.michaelfbell.com and www.invisiblecrime.com. And the books are also available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine books are sold.
Well, wonderful. Michael, again, thank you for returning, and it's always fun to talk to you, and I'm sure that we'll talk again in the future.
And, I hope so.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this information to light. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lance.
All righty. Good night, everybody.